Good morning. Good to be with you all. Thanks for coming to Mass on a beautiful day. One of the great gifts of my life was to be able to go to the Holy Land on pilgrimage. The year was 2005. I was a recently ordained deacon. I was studying over in Rome, and my spiritual director organized a pilgrimage for those of us in the seminary who could go to be in the places where Jesus walked. If you ever get a chance to go there, you should, because you can never read the Gospels in the same way again. You can go to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. You can go and pray on the Mount of Olives. You can go into the city of Jerusalem and follow the way of the cross that leads you from Pilate's palace up to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where there's the Mount of Calvary. You can pray in the empty tomb. And of course that changes you. These saving events are so huge and so real over there. But I loved, most especially, our time in Galilee. As great as Jerusalem was, I felt like in Galilee I got to know who Jesus was, because he spent most of his life and even most of his ministry there. And Galilee is north of Jerusalem, about 175 miles or so. Nazareth, where he was born, where Mary said yes. You can go to the basilica there. There's a great basilica, and inside the basilica is a small stone house, and it's the place where Mary said yes to Gabriel. And you walk into that place, and on the floor, you see verbum caro, factum est, hic. The hic is what makes all the difference. Verbum caro, factum est, the word was made flesh, hic, which means here. Like it happened here. Mary said yes, here. This is the place where Jesus entered the womb of the Virgin. This is the place where he was first human in her womb. Well, today's gospel takes place in Galilee, in Capernaum, about 35 miles away from Nazareth. And it's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We know, obviously, exactly where the Sea of Galilee is because it's still there. We also know exactly where Capernaum is because it's been excavated. You can go exactly to the synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus spoke about the Eucharist in John 6. You can go to the place where Peter's mother-in-law was cured of her fever. We know exactly where that is. We also know where the shoreline is. And so our spiritual director, Father Lally, he gave us time to just pray in those sites, not to be rushed. So I just walked the shoreline. And that shoreline's significant. It's where Peter and Andrew and James and John were called. So I certainly prayed with that passage. But I also prayed with this one, and specifically with this healing of the woman who had been sick for so long. Just prayed with that passage, had it in my mind, and I walked the shoreline, and I'm like, was she healed here? Or 20 yards up, was she healed here? Because this healing really happened. It really took place. Pope Benedict XVI, he said that healing is the central message of the gospel. Healing is the central message of the gospel. Healing, friends, that's what Jesus came to do. And we need that healing. We all do. So this great story of healing that we have in the gospel is both a story that we should pay attention to. We should find ourselves in it. We should also find our hope in it. And this woman is desperate. She's had some type of flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. 12 years of suffering. And suffering not just on the physical level, because there was a greater suffering that was involved with this. Because of the Levitical laws, she was considered ritually and socially impure. This condition that she has, whatever it is, cuts her off from her community and even from her faith. because she is considered impure. She had tried to get help. We know that. We hear St. Mark write, she had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. I wonder how many times she was close to despair. I wonder how many people even here are like her, seeking healing, trying to find healing in all sorts of different ways, and not getting better, but actually only getting worse. I wonder how many people are close to despair. I'll never be healed from this. There's no hope. I don't know how I'll continue. Well, we should learn from this woman then. I wonder if it was her desperation that made her move, because she does move, and this is what we need to pay attention to. Look at her courage and look at her faith. So first, she has courage to get near Jesus, even to be in the crowd, because she's not supposed to be there. So she has courage, and she says, I just need to approach him. And she knows that if she can do that, something good will happen. She takes courage. She makes a move. And friends, if you're afflicted with something, you can't just sit in your pain. You have to make moves, especially those spiritual afflictions or those mental afflictions. You can't just sit back. You have to make a move. Whatever that move might be, but to go toward real healing, you have to make a move. And she does. So she approaches Jesus, and she approaches Jesus with great faith. She says, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. All she wants to do is just reach out and touch the tassel of his garment. She has enough faith in that, that somehow Jesus could heal her. And so, courageously and with faith, she does that. And immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. The healing happens. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus, he stops the whole procession with this chaotic mob around him, pressing on him, speaking to him, trying to get his attention. And he turns to his disciples and turns to the other people, and he says, who touched me? And they say, look how the crowd's pressing on you. How could you ask who touched you? I often think about how Jesus is saying, who touched me? Who moved my heart here? Jesus is all about healing. And this woman, with her courage and with her faith, touches Jesus, moves his heart. See, Jesus doesn't want to heal in an anonymous way. He doesn't do that. Nothing he does is anonymous. He doesn't save us generically. He heals us, he saves us personally. And so he stops everything, and he keeps looking for her. And she realizes what has happened. And so she finally comes forward freely this time, face to face with Jesus. Fear and trembling, yes. She falls down before him, and then, St. Mark writes, she tells him the whole truth. She tells him everything that's gone on for her. It's so critical. That's part of the healing, to be able to tell Jesus the whole truth. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go and be cured of this affliction. Jesus is all about healing. But the deepest healings are not physical ones. The deepest healings are heart to heart. So when Jesus says, your faith has saved you, what he's saying is, I see you. I see, yes, your need, but I also see your faith. And it is your faith that has saved you. Now, for a time here, I've been saying, and especially in our current kind of cultural milieu, anytime you see the word faith in the scriptures, you can just substitute the word trust. Trust. What do we see in this woman? Great courage and great trust. What do we need for all of our own lives? Great courage and great trust. Because if we actually want the healing that Jesus alone can give, it requires great courage and great trust. We have to approach our Lord with courage, because it's a risk to say, I need you. I need to welcome you into this brokenness that is in my life. It takes great trust to know that Jesus can actually heal and actually wants to. But he does, brothers and sisters. Healing is the central message of the gospel, Pope Benedict says. Friends, healing is the central message of Mass, of every Mass, of this Mass right here today. And Jesus wants to heal us. He's the divine physician. We heard in the second reading, St. Paul write, he who was rich became poor for your sake, so that by his poverty you might become rich. That's the move of the incarnation. God himself, who's rich, full of divinity, he becomes poor for our sake by being human, so that we who are poor might become rich. Well, that happened when Mary said yes in Nazareth. It also happens here. Jesus becomes poor in the Eucharist. By his poverty, we become rich. He gives himself to us fully, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the whole of himself to us, so that we could come forward and touch not the hem of his garment, but receive all of him, all his power to heal, all his power to save. That's why we're here at Mass. But to do that, we have to imitate this great woman of faith in the scriptures. We have to have her courage. We have to have her trust. What have you suffered with? What have you been carrying? What ails your soul? Where are you diseased spiritually? Right there, Jesus wants to heal you. How that works is not up to me. What it looks like, the time frame, it's not up to me. But what is up to me is to tell you this, that Jesus came to heal, and to heal you. Not just heal other people or heal humanity in general, but to heal you. It's personal. So we come forward with great courage and with great trust. We come to our Lord, the divine physician, who heals us. Because healing is the central message of the gospel. And healing is the central message of this Mass today.